Father, I truly do thank you for the word tonight. I thank you, Father God, that there are absolutely no hindrances in this service to cause the word to be fumbled over. I thank you, Father God, that your holy angelic angels are moving to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to the people and even people at home, Father God, the angels are there ministering to them also. And Father, I thank you that those who have ears to hear will hear what thus saith the Lord tonight, and they will take it into their bosom, and they will be ready to be, they will be willing servants to work for you in this end time harvest. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So God said that right now the body of Christ is working toward the end of all things. God told me way back in 1977, I think it was when I was first born again, that we were living in the days of Noah. And I'm quite sure we were living in the days of Noah before that, but he told me then we were, and we definitely are living in the days of Noah right now. So in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, Jesus gave us a clear warning and indication of what this world would be like near the time of his second coming. Looking forward to the time just before his return, Christ saw the scene of this world, and it was a mirror of what it was like back in both Noah's and Lot's day. Now, we're going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight because that's the only way for God to get across to us what it needs to be, we need to hear. Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 37 says, Jesus says, "But as the days of Noah," and I circled that, "days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now Luke 17, 28 through 30 says, "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot," and I circled that, "they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now Luke 12, 22, Jesus says, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, quit worrying about how you're going to take care of yourself. As you seek God's face, God will take care of you. All right, and what did the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13? "Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." In other words, do not live for food, drink, clothing, money, building, marriage, and so forth, as these things will be destroyed, but live for the Lord. He is the only way to true life. And John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So many women want to get married. "I need a man, I need a man, I need a man." I said, "Why? Take care of me." Well, why not Jesus? He's a man. You know, God's a man and he will take care of you. You get an earthly man and he'll take care of you, all right? you all know that. You know, and some of you want a woman. Well, you get a woman and you wish you didn't have her. God said, "Children, you are my servants that are going..." Now listen what he says. "Children, you are my servants that are going to bring in the harvest." You guys that come here all the time. "You cannot live as the world lives. You must be fortified in me and allow my holy arms embrace you at all times. You must live holy, righteous lives and listen for my still, small voice." Now there's God's instruction to you. God said, "End times are drawing near and much work to be accomplished for my kingdom." God went on to say, "Children, you can in no wise be as the five foolish virgins. You must be alert every second, for no one knows the day of my second coming except the Father of all lights." Now let's read about the 10 virgins in Matthew 24, verses 43 through 44. But know that this, oh, I'm sorry, we're just going to talk about it here. But Jesus said, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In other words, live each second of every day as if that's the second that Jesus is going to appear. You can't see, but I'm going to go there and sneak a drink. Jesus won't come right now. That might be the time he comes, about the time you lift that thing to your lips. You see, but this is what God is saying here. In Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I read some articles about that, and I can't believe how they twisted and turned that scripture. It was terrible. All right, let's look at Matthew 25, starting at verse 1. Jesus speaking, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our oil lamps are going out. You know, this is whenever God said, nobody's going to ride on your coattail, this is what he's talking about. You're going to have to work out your own salvation. You're going to have this spirit in you. You can't get it off of somebody else. Verse 9 says, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. In other words, while people were trying to, when they realized Jesus had come, they were trying to get themselves together. It was too late. The door shut on them. All right, so if you're sitting here thinking, well, Jesus isn't going to come for quite some time. You know, God told me one time, the rapture is the day you die. So you never know what second your rapture is going to occur. And you just might not have gotten yourself right yet. All right? Now, you need to understand this morning service and this evening service is for you guys, so that you understand that God is ready to use you in signs, wonders, and miracles. And teaching about the end time tonight is what you're going to supposed to be going out there and teaching to those lost souls that you're going to come in contact with. Because a lot of people don't even believe there is going to be a second coming. A lot of people think there isn't even a Jesus. A lot of people think they can keep on sinning and still go to heaven. You know, and none of that's true. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, how many of your name is all of a sudden turned to Noah? And you finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. Are you a just man or woman? Perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, verse 11 said, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. You know, all flesh, animal and human. For the earth is filled with violence through them. The people brought the violence on the earth. and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God said, children, there is still much warfare on the front lines. Adversity is everywhere, many running to and fro, not knowing what to do next. But I have been giving my church precise instructions how to live in this end time era. And he has. Too many false doctrines floating around inside my houses. Too many false prophets on the scene. Too many ministers of the gospel who do not live what they preach. You know, preachers are out there preaching love, but they won't even love another preacher. So he says, too many ministers of the gospel who do not live what they preach. Then God said, oh, foolish people, who has beguiled you? And then Galatians 3:1 says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. They saw that, but they walked away from their faith. And 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You, each one of you in here should be saying this to yourself. I'm afraid that just as Eve, I might be deceived. And you really need to be concerned about being deceived, because there's much deception going on out there in the world. And how many of you, you've even come in contact with things, you know, something sounds good, but there's something inside of you said it's just not quite right. So you just sort of push it aside because you don't want to get involved in something that's not totally 100% right. Some's right and some is not. So what you do then is you just be still. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. And how many of you, I know some of us in here, the same thing happens to us. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. Says here that if God did all this other stuff, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly. Are you a godly person? He will rescue from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. I thought that statement was sort of unique. And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. God knows how to keep these people until he's ready to run until the day of judgment comes. 2 Peter 2:21 says, for it would have been better for them never to have, this is talking about people who were in Christ and then backslid or just walked away. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. God, it used to be that God spoke that over, would tell me that about people when they stood before me. In other words, they've walked away from God, but they're up there pretending they're righteous, and they're not. You can't pretend you're righteous because God knows you from crown of your head to the soul. He knows you inside out. You might fool the people, but you can't fool God. And if there's a true prophet standing in front of you, God's telling all about you to that prophet. Even though they're not speaking it to you, he's telling them what you're really doing. This is what you need to be working towards, is being that kind of a person that God can work through. That when you're in front of somebody, they're telling you one thing, but the Holy Spirit's revealing the truth about that person. That hidden junk that they have in there, thinking that they're deceiving even God, and it's not working. Now, love had surely waxed cold in Noah's day, just as it is today. Jude 1:7 says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. You know, God just told me years ago when he was giving me all this great prophetic word that when he was through with America, you wouldn't be able to recognize it, and it would be split down the middle, and even some cities, you know, states would be totally gone, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And as I was getting these scriptures together, I thought about that, and I thought, how terrible. You know, when he starts destroying whole entire cities, states, you know, everybody's gone. You're just like these people, in a split second, they're gone. All right, we see from Jude that in Lot's day, sexual immorality and homosexuality had taken control of the people of Sodom. And Jesus, do you remember the story whenever they took they went in there to get Lot out of there, that the angels went in to get him, and Lot said, here, take my daughter and use her, but let the angels alone. I thought that was terrible. You know, these homosexual people were there wanting to get these angels so they could use them, and what would they would ravish a poor girl to death. Think about that. And Jesus tells us that these things would be... All right, let's start that again. We see from Jude that in Lot's day, sexual immorality and homosexuality had taken control of the people of Sodom. And Jesus tells us that these things would be combined and all happening at one time during the last days before his return. Now, does the day we live in fit with this description? Yes. These evils have now been turned into entertainment. This world is now entertained by the very things that God destroyed. Think about it. These evils have now been turned into entertainment. This world is now entertained by the very things that God destroyed. The old world and Sodom for in Noah's and Lot's day. You don't believe me? Just turn on your TV set. And some of the things, just even on your computer, and you're turning, you get junk you don't even want to see. Get on that, you happen to slip it to YouTube, and there's all kind of junk on there. What's the scripture? We're living in days when good is called evil and evil is called good. Isn't that what's going on right now? If you don't think that the end is near, then you really are living in some other zone. I didn't say when it was going to be. That's up to God. But it is coming. God told me when we first started this next 40 years, he said, this is a time when my son is going to return and bring his bride home. Now, you can do whatever you want to with this information, but this information is for you who truly want to be servants of God, who came up here this morning and wanted that anointing for the miracles, the supernatural things that God wants to do. And so you have to know the whole story. You have to be able to tell the people what's really going on in the world. Joel chapter 3, verse 14 said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. When God first had me start dealing with me about dealing with the church, he kept giving me that scripture over and over again. And, you know, God's left the church, whether you know that or not. He has already left the church. He shook it and shook it, and he's shaken everything that can be shaken. And now that's why he's given us this, because we're headed out there. To a group of people who don't know what we know, but yet they're crying out for help, and they don't understand why. They don't understand that there's something that out there, and they don't know what it is. But you and I know what it is. You cannot fornicate in any way and call yourself a child of God. You can't do that. We're supposed to live holy, righteous lives. Right? It does not take a genius to figure out that we are living in the time Jesus talked about. A time like the days of Noah and Lot, where violence, wickedness, sexual immorality, homosexuality, love of self, and idleness. Isn't that what we're dealing with right now? And don't you feel sorry for these young kids right now, the little kids like, you know, Gabriel and Isaiah and your young kids, that they're in that mixture. And, you know, and the enemy's really fighting them because they might be looking for their game or something on their tablet. Next thing you know, up pops this pornography. They're not looking for it, but the devil makes sure he pops it up there. Then it gets into their spirit. Next thing you know, it has control of them. I feel very sorry for the real young kids of today. They don't even have parents that are true parents. The parents are out there doing all kind of evil drugs. It's terrible. You know, and I can't believe how people lay around with people. It's just unreal. All right, lost my place. The signs are so clear that we are living right at the very end of time for this world. We are living in the last days. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." You know, I'm dealing with somebody right now, and they keep saying, "Well, so-and-so is leading my child down the wrong path." That's, no, they're not. That child is of age. That child knows exactly what they do. They've got their own mind. I don't like to hear that. You don't have to do what other people do. You just don't. You do it because you desire to do it. That's why you do it. And quit blaming it on somebody else, or quit blaming it on the devil. Devil cannot control your mind. You have control over your own mind, right? And they know the word. But it's always, "Well, you know, so-and-so." I don't let my kids say that. Don't you go around blaming somebody else for what you're doing. Take the blame on your shoulders where it belongs and give it to God and take your licks and then move on, right? We who are following the Father are being vexed every day as we watch all the lawless deeds that are going on in the world. Right now, I'm very vexed, aren't you, with what's going on? I just can't believe it's even going on. But I know that God is allowing this because these certain things have to happen in order for the second coming of Jesus to happen. They're just going to occur. And we can get vexed all we want to. But what we need to do while we're being vexed is take it to God and put it in his hands and shut our mouth and just do what God's telling us to do. I didn't say lay down and roll over and play dead. I didn't say that. You don't go out in the street to start protesting is what I'm saying. All right? You give it to God and ask God, "God," and I do, "what do you want me to do about this?" And he either tells me to shut up or he tells me what my part is in it. And then I have to do what he tells me to do. If he tells me to be still and I don't want to be still, I've got to be still, no matter I like it or not. Because if I'm not still, then what I'm going to do is cause a whole bunch of junk. All right? And I'm not supposed to get involved in politics, so I stick that on to Christopher and Alan. You need to do this. All right, I said, we who are following the Father are being vexed every day as we watch all the lawless deeds that are going on in the world. But we must also keep in mind that God knows exactly what is going on, and these things must come to pass to usher in. I already said that without reading, right? All right, God made an example of sexually immoral people in Lot's day who practiced homosexuality by destroying them with fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire." Now listen to this. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved," that's us, "by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now, I'm going to stop there because I was doing something around the house the other day, and God said, "It's not going to be another 2,000 years. And I knew he was telling me that the second coming of Jesus, because it's been preached for over 2,000 years that he was coming again, all right? But God spoke those words to me. So you don't have 2,000 years. I don't believe you even have 1,000. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we lived another 1,000 years with the mess we're in right now? Can you ever imagine what it would be like? Lord Jesus, come quickly, right? Verse 9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. How is he going to destroy the earth? With fire. Isn't that what we just read? Once again, you know, as in the day before, once again the earth will be burned up. Why with fire? God made a covenant with Noah in Genesis 9:11. Thus, God said, told us to Noah after the flood, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God can't flood us out again. He has to burn the earth up. And we just read scriptures where he said he's going to do that, didn't we? I would suggest that you read Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17 at home. It tells why we have a rainbow. It goes along with verse 11 about the covenant. So that's Genesis 9, 8 through 17 tells you about the rainbow. And what did the homosexual community do? Stole the rainbow, just put their own colors in it. Now, my question to you is, will you be ready for that great and dreadful day when Jesus returns? It could be just right now. It could be if you're just going to stand up in your seat and he's here. Are you going to be one of those saints that he'll take with him? I don't know about you, but my kids know every day you need to keep yourself right every single second of every single day, because you don't know what day or hour he's coming. Now, some of you were like me when I was first born again. I just knew Jesus was coming tomorrow, and you know, and I quit college, and you know, I canceled all my insurance policies, took all my money out, and I was just waiting for Jesus to come. But the Bible says you'll be marrying and working and, you know, laboring in the fields and everything else that's come. So don't sell your insurance policies. You know, don't give away your car, whatever you're thinking about doing. Just keep on doing everyday life. We get to keep on living, and one day Jesus will be here. All right. I said, will you be ready for that great and dreadful day when Jesus returns? Will you be with the saints at the end when Jesus returns? Or will you be one of those that are being, well, that is left behind? Now, Chris Lynch, God told him through me, with tears running down my face, that he was going to be left behind simply because he had full knowledge of the word, and he needs some to be left behind so they can teach the others who have not heard about Jesus. My daughter Tina is going to be left behind. And when I called her and told her that this years ago, she started crying. She said, Mom, God just told me that a couple of days ago, that I would not go into rapture, that I had to be left behind so I could help lead others to Christ. And Chris Lynch and my daughter Tina are very strong-willed people, believe me, they are. And, you know, they'll be good at that. Now, only if God speaks to you and tells you that you're going to be left behind will you be left behind if you're living for God 100%. The only way you'll be left behind is if God tells you you're going to be, because he needs you as a minister of the gospel to the ones who were left and never heard about Jesus. Now, I'm hearing God say, if truth be told, there's many sitting in here tonight that you walk in misconception of what this walk with Jesus is all about. I'm hearing him say your fundraisers have to stop. You're not in this for raising money. You're in this to raise souls out of the pits of hell. And your job is to work the people out of eternal damnation into the earthly realm. too many have business on their mind, money-wise business, and they don't have their mind enough on the things of God. So, God's telling me to check yourselves very closely and make sure that you are not spending more time on material things than you are on the things of God. God's saying this is a stressful time in the body because the body lacks knowledge, true knowledge of what is going on around about them and what's going to happen in the days ahead. And God's telling me right now that he's raising up leaders right now that will have full knowledge of what is going to transpire, and that he's going to use you leaders to give it to the people who don't know, the body of Christ, people who don't know. He said if you'll just let him, he will start tonight, even in your prayer closets, to minister to you, to reveal to you exactly what he desires for you to do. He said, no more vacillating. You're either in or you're out. You can no longer want your own desires to come to pass. You have to only want God's will done in your life. And anymore, even when people in my home, they said, well, you need to pray about this or that. And I said, but what I'm praying for is God's will to be done. Because I know for a fact that sometimes we pray what other people ask us to pray, and it's not God's will. And really, God's will is better than what they want you to pray. So each one of you in here tonight, you need to learn that when people say, oh, pray for so-and-so, you know, for whatever, so you can say, yes, I will. But you can even pray with the person, but pray, God, your will be done. Your ultimate will be done in this person's life. God might want somebody to die, you know, because he knows that they're not going to stay saved. And if they're sick and you're sitting there praying them, you know, well, that might, and it's, I'm not that way. I'm supposed to tell you that. It's his will I live. But, you know, you could be praying them to light, to live, and they'll go to hell because they won't stay saved. And that's a fact. I don't care who argues that fact, but that is a fact. Ask God. Sit down and talk to God. Not to another person. Sit down and talk to God. He will tell you exactly how to pray and exactly what's going on in that person's life. We are so in tune to always talking to somebody else about a problem, aren't we? Instead of going to God. And the other person's going to feel, you know, if they really care for you, they don't want to tell you nothing negative. You know, and they're going to tell you that all is well when it isn't, when it really isn't. And you know, a lot of people are saying, I don't have enough faith to be healed. Oh, yeah, I do. Yes, I do. If I can raise the dead, I can have enough faith for this dumb junk to get out of my body. God will manifest it when he desires to. I wished it was 2 years ago, but I'm still believing and believing. And I see that people don't understand why these things are going on in my life, and they're talking out of their head. If they knew the truth, they would shut up. If they just prayed to God, they would shut up, you know, and pray, God, your will be done. How strong of a tower are you anyhow? When people look at you, do they see a strong tower, or do they see somebody weak that their knees bend at every little thing that comes into their life? Come on. And I said that. Well, God asked me to ask you that, but in the last week, 4 people said to me, you are so strong. How do you stay strong? And 2 people said, I know it's God. But they still want to know, how do you do this? We do all things through Christ Jesus, right? And I'm asking you tonight, are you ready to really, really see the truth in God's word about the end times, that we're living in the end times? Not because, and I gave you scripture to cover it all. It's just all scripture. I didn't twist it. Not because I'm teaching this to you tonight, but because you know that you know in the very soul of your being that this is a truth, that we are working at the end of times and that Jesus is going to come back again in this dispensation time. I don't care if it's 100 years, but we're working to get people ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And God is saying, are you ready for the download that he wants to download onto you tonight to give you even more revelation of what he's going to do to get the world ready for the second return of Jesus. So anyhow, let's get down to nitty-gritty here. Are you ready? Are you really ready to have God download all the evil that's going to come on in this world right now and prepare your heart to make you a strong tower that others can run into? Is your temple that strong that you can receive everything God wants to download into you tonight? If you do, you know where you're supposed to be.